Hey everyone, my name's Rich, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect at 97000. There we can answer any questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we got going on here at the church. Finally, if you want to support the work that we're doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website, click the Give tab at the top of the page, and you can text the amount that you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you're blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all. On this warm Sunday, huh? Not bad. And balcony, temperature okay up there? We got the air conditioner cranking, so it should be. It's the people below. They're a little hot, so it's all right. But welcome to the River Church. We're so glad that you're here. If you're new, my name is Jason Combs. I have the privilege of being the location pastor here. And just excited to gather. We're in Romans chapter number 5. So if you've been with us, we have been studying the book of Romans. We're taking some 26 weeks walking through this amazing book and with some difficult study, but looking to see what is the Lord saying, what is the Lord telling us, what is there to learn. And if you've been with me, you've heard me talk about in the first four chapters, there's like a sense of a courtroom. There's the sense that God is the righteous judge sitting on the throne. The defendant is mankind, we, or who being charged. Then Paul is really the prosecuting attorney, and as you read chapters 1 through 4, you'll find that Paul, now in a loving, caring way, so wants mankind to realize that they are guilty. So verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 2, it tells us that all of mankind, that we don't do good. No, not one is what the scripture says. So Paul is giving, he's saying the truth that mankind has turned from God. We don't follow God. We need help. And because God is righteous and God is just, he will judge sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul comes and says that God loves us. The righteous judge loves us so much that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And we read specifics about salvation that I think are so important. Listen, if you leave here, I don't want you to be vague on what the Bible says salvation is. Salvation is a gift from God. It is not by works. It is God who loves us, sent Jesus, and because of Jesus, we may be justified. We may legally be righteous, not because we're righteous, but because Jesus is good, righteous, and holy, and he went to the cross, he died on the cross, he rescues mankind, that Jesus is the propitiation. Jesus takes the wrath of a righteous judge, God, for our sins. And in chapter 4, Paul, in a sense, calls up to the stand Abraham and David to defend the truth, saying, we are saved because we trust, because we believe, because we have faith. And ultimately, that faith is in Jesus Christ as Savior. So last week, we looked at what true, strong faith is. Big, godly faith is focused on the Lord, focused on his promises to bring him glory. When we arrive at chapter 5, in a sense, the case is over. The verdict is given, and it's not like the courtroom. It's not, your sins are dismissed. That's not what happened. There's a verdict. Our sins are judged. They're not just kind of wishy-washed away. Jesus takes the judgment. Those of us who trusted Christ as our Savior. And we get to chapter 5. And it reminds me, if we've ever watched court cases on TV and it ends and the verdict is given and sometimes there's clapping and crying and sometimes there's just silence, like, okay. So we're declared righteous, those of us who trust in Jesus. that God the righteous judge, the judgment is handed out upon Jesus, and now we are seen as righteous. So we see what salvation is. But in chapter 5, what happens now is Paul tells us what salvation does. What does salvation do? If we've come to know Christ, what actually happens? So let's read, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to have a question for you, a couple of them after, that I'm going to ask you to respond, so you better not check out, okay? Stay focused here. The Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, right? See this? He goes, therefore, the argument of justification that I've just spent 4 chapters on, and some of you are like, yes, Pastor, we know, we get justified, okay, let's move on. But he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, now what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith unto this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character, it produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So when you hear this, these verses, do you hear a joyful tone or a fearful tone? Hi, everybody. Joyful or fearful? What do you got? Joy. All right, good, good, good. 8 o'clock, listen better. Is this condemning or is this uplifting? Is there speaking of problems or of wonderful promises? So you read this, there's this joy, it's like the word rejoice, and there are these blessings of the Lord. Since we have been justified by faith, there are these consequences because we are saved. Now, when I say consequences, sometimes we may go, bad things? Huh? No, consequences just mean there are these results. What happens when people truly come to know the Lord? Chapter 5 tells us, and it is wonderful and beautiful. So one pastor said, Paul turns from the doctrine of justification to its consequences. That we see what salvation is, and now we see what salvation does. In verse 2, it says, through him we have also obtained access by faith. Now, when I was studying this, I think about the blessings of the Lord, the consequences of the Lord. And sometimes when we think about when we're saved, what happens, the consequences, the results of being saved, sometimes, even for me, for us, it's easy to put it in like, I almost put it like in ticket form. And what I mean by that, like, you ever go into a baseball game or a concert? To have access to go, you got to first get a ticket. So you get a ticket, it gives you access. Some of you get, you know. So I'm thinking about this word access. A few years ago, I caught up with one of my youth pastors. So he was my youth pastor when I was in middle school. And years later, I caught up with him and we were talking. He lives in Tennessee and we were just able to have a conversation. And we started to talk about those things that we like. And I realized that he also, like me, likes wrestling. I know for some of you, Pastor, you just went down in my book. Like, I had you here. What happened? And so I was just talking to him. He goes, hey, would you like to go to a wrestling event? I was like, that sounds fun. And so he goes, I got a guy. I got a guy on the inside. I got a guy. He's actually the semi-truck driver. He drives the big trucks around. He goes, I'll talk to him. And so he got back to me and said, hey, I got a guy on the inside, and he got me tickets. And so I got 4 really awesome front row tickets to a wrestling event, like where the like family sits. It was awesome. And it was really cool. And maybe you've had an experience like that. You knew somebody on the inside. And so you didn't just get tickets. You got bigger blessing than that. You got like an access pass, right? You got a ticket and then it said access pass, right? You put this rear all access. And when you got there, like, oh, you're connected with that person. Well, we've got stuff for you. And they start to break out swag for you. They're like, hey, you know them? Okay, here, we got this for you. Got a hat for you. All right, we got, what are these called? All right, here's a t-shirt. Here's a towel. Here's a mug. We got a front row. We can take you to the very front row because you're connected with that person. Here's what you get, all of this. And sometimes when we think about Christianity and our walk with the Lord, this is kind of how we put it. We think, man, I'm connected to God. Hey, you look at God out in the field, you can go, mm-hmm, yeah, us in here, yeah, mm-hmm. Even got a baseball, all right? You got a game baseball here? Like, and sometimes we put it like, I'm with God, I know him, I can come, I get access, I get a ticket, and then I get sweet swag from the Lord. But when I read this passage, sorry, I'll take my hat off. I know somebody really bothered you. Okay, I'll take it off. When I read this passage, it's so much deeper than just getting swag from the Lord. It's deeper than just coming. See, the Lord doesn't want you to just come once in a while and he gives you access. The Lord says, hey, I'm inviting you to go with me. The Lord's like, hey, come on the field. And tomorrow we're playing at this place. Let's go. Come along. I want you to leave what you have behind. I want you to come and to have an intimate relationship with me, to know my love, to know my peace. It is more than just, hey, I'm going to give you a few things. God says, I will be with you. And in this passage, what we find from the Lord is the amazing, true blessing of what it really looks like to follow Jesus. What are these blessings? So let's pray and look at a few of these. Lord God, I pray for your help. May you open up our eyes to how real and good you are. May you use this in an amazing way. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Consequent number 1 is that we have peace with God. One said, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God. That as we've studied, if you've been with it, you'll find mankind doesn't have peace with God. We're hostile with God. We are separated from God. Jesus is good, right? God is righteous. God is king. And what we have done as mankind is we have sat in his seat and say, no, we're the ruler. We're going to decide. We lead. As we've studied through the first 4 chapters, finding that because of sin, we are separated from God. Since the very beginning, we think of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, what did they do? They ran and they hid. Why? Because that's what we do in sin. We sin and we run from God. But the Bible here says, what does justification, salvation do? It brings peace with God that we should no longer want to hide from God, but to know God. One said it this way, it helped. It said, if it offends us when a man publicly mistreats his wife or children, how much more does it offend God for whom all acts are public? Everything that's done is seen. Every thought that we have. Yet because of God's love for us, while we were yet sinners rejecting God, he loved us. He sends Jesus. In the Old Testament, it speaks of Jesus' names. One of them is Prince of Peace. When Jesus is born in Luke 2:14, the angels began to proclaim on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Colossians 1:20 says, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, I do want to tell you, we need to be careful with this word peace. Why? Everybody likes the word peace. In our modern culture, everybody, it's how can we just have, right, this therapeutic feeling, as one said, of peace. Whether that's taking a walk or a bike ride or going to the gym or going out in the forest or trying to find peace. But the truth of the Bible says peace is not in creation. It's in the Creator. That we will look and look and look and try to find peace in creation somewhere. Something that's created in a person, in a job, in a plan, in a forest. We try to find peace. And God says there's peace. Only true peace is through the Creator. And the Bible tells us what peace looks like. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Jesus, before he went to the cross in John 14, says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The consequences of salvation are more than just little blessings from the Lord. The consequences of salvation is knowing the truth that you and God are at peace. Hear me, because some of you fight this. Right? You don't realize the wrath of God is poured out on Christ. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the truth is no more wrath from God is to be poured out. It's for you. Peace with God. And to rest in that peace. See, we'll never have the peace of God unless we understand we have peace with God. Consequence of salvation, peace with God. In verse 2, it says, through him we have also obtained access by faith unto this grace in which we stand. Salvation brings us access to the grace of God by faith. One said, we are given a favorable position by which to develop a personal relationship. I like what he said. It says, this goes beyond peace with God. It is not merely the removal of a negative. It has a positive aspect, a relationship, a friendship with God. We can now go to the Lord. He calls us to come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden. He says, draw near to him. The Lord, the consequence of salvation is the Lord wants you to know he offers this personal relationship, this grace for you. Grace. Pastor defined it, grace is God's riches to us. Grace is the unsought, undeserved, and unconditional love of God. Grace is God pursuing us until he has found us and persevering with us ever afterwards. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Paul began this letter in Romans 1:7, says to all those who are in Rome, who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I guess my desire this morning is that you'll see the consequence of salvation is so much more than what many try to say. I'm just looking for God to give me little blessings in this world. It's so much more than that. It is an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. And he calls us to come to him that we may seek him, we may draw near to him. I love how one pastor illustrated this. He talked about a great, powerful king. And he said, the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. and ask for a glass of water is the king's child. We are children of the great and almighty king. This is the wonderful access that is offered through Jesus Christ. The end of verse 2. It says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. To me, it seems like what is happening is you look at the peace of God, what that deals with our past, that we are forgiven of sins, we may have peace with God, and it leads us to the presence, that we have access to the grace of God now, and here we rejoice, what? In the hope of the glory that is to come, that Jesus is coming back. And now, for believers, the consequence is we look forward to eternity with the Lord. One illustration I heard was like if you get a new job and it just leads you to an excitement of what that job can lead to. And you're just like, man, this new job, and I look on the horizon and what it can lead to. Or you can even go, man, I got a vacation coming. I look forward to that vacation. And so the week at work, you just, I can get through this week. I know what's coming. I'm going to be okay. I know it's coming. Far beyond that is when believers look to the return of Jesus. We look to that. Now, I will tell you, if you don't get the peace of God and the grace of God, spending eternity with God doesn't look that great. See, when I was growing up, I felt like the big sell when you tried to, like, I don't want to sell, but when you talk to kids and students and adults, you'd be like, hey, let's talk about heaven. You get to go to heaven for eternity. Now I feel like when you talk to people about heaven, they're like, "What's? I don't think so. It doesn't sound that great. What, am I going to like be with God? I got to praise God the whole time? This does not sound like something. I think I'm all right. There's no draw. Why? Because if you don't realize the amazing love and the peace that God offers, if you don't realize you have access to this grace, and there is a great, holy, powerful God that loves you and loves you, that it is a personal love. If you don't get that, then to spend eternity with that God, there's no draw. But the Bible talks about us growing in this peace, in this hope. This week we had VBS here, some 100 kids running around the building. It's wonderful. On Thursday, I had the great privilege to teach all of the kids. So the 5 and 6-year-olds came in the room, and I got to teach them, and then the 7 through 8-year-olds, and then the 9 through 11, and each one of them is wonderful. You have to teach them a little bit different than I teach you. I know you're going to be shocked. I used a prop. I know, crazy, huh? But as I talked to the older kids, as we talked about salvation, I so wanted them to know, listen, salvation is not just about getting a ticket into heaven and then it's good. Salvation is about this joyous relationship with the Almighty God now. It is about peace that is now. It is about grace and hope that is now. Yes, we live in a broken world. Yes, things are difficult. Yes, it's not always easy. But God, the blessing of salvation, it is God in us and with us, that the Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us and he loves us. This is the amazing blessing of salvation. So Paul says the consequence, peace with God, grace to have access to this friendship, and then the hope of glory. Let's keep reading. Verse number 3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. He's saying even when things don't go right, when things are difficult, when you know the Lord and you know that you have that relationship, you're okay. You're all right. You can rejoice in sufferings. Why? Because sufferings start a chain reaction. They lead us to perseverance, to character, to growing and hope. One scholar said in the word perseverance, it literally means single-mindedness. So when we have sufferings on this earth, it makes us focus. It removes distractions and it focuses us on the priorities. And when we do that, what happens? It builds character. It builds this once attestedness. It builds us. It grows us. So that what's that next chain reaction? We grow in hope. We become stronger and more confident. So studying, I learned a couple of these things. I thought they were really good points. What I learned is what this is not saying is that we don't rejoice for suffering. Right? Don't get this skewed that there's some people that think I need to feel punished because of the bad that I did. Because I'm unworthy, I'm guilt, so I need the Lord to punish me so that I don't, that will help me feel better. This is not what the passage is saying. It's also not saying that to take you to a place of pride. Some people go and they think, man, I've just gone through so much persecution and stress. Those people over there, they don't even know. And it moves you to a place of pride. That's not what this is. It's not moving you to a place of works to go, man, I need to go through suffering and go for these things because then I'm going to work for the Lord and then the Lord will owe me something. Nope. Like how one said it, he said that there's more in mind than the thought, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Kelly Clarkson is wrong. Or we will grow through adversity, or it's a mere guess and maybe everything will work out. No, here it is saying, for those who know the Lord, all things work together for good. Those who know the Lord, and when there is difficulty, when there is trial, the Lord will use that for good to change your focus, to help your focus. Why? Our focus gets off. And the Lord will bring things to focus and to bring us to see so that we can have the right focus. So that then it grows our character. We become stronger. We become more devoted to the Lord. So that what? Our hope grows. And in it we see the Lord. And our hope grows in trusting him. On Wednesday night throughout the summer, I'm teaching a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30 here. And just kind of going off the Sunday sermon, diving a little deeper. So this Sunday, I love the room, the people that are coming. It's in the back. There's all these young adults that show up, and they bless me. It's like 20 young adults with their Bibles, like ready to go. I just smile. It's awesome. Then there's some older people in there. Not older, but you know what I'm saying. And so what I do is I'll ask a question, a couple questions. They'll break up into groups. And so this week I asked the question, what has grown your faith? And I said, go. And so they break up into groups and begin to share some of their stories. As we came back together, I said, how many of you, your faith grew by something difficult happen? By something difficult happening, and everybody raised their hand. And I told the young adults, I said, listen, sometimes I think you can get the thought that the older people in here, they've just had it easy in their walk with Christ. They just come to the 8 o'clock, everything's been fine, things were fine. And I said, you know what you need to do is meet with one of them and hear their story. Hear what the Lord has done. And if they know the Lord, you can hear the struggle that has led them to a better focus on God, that's led them to a greater character, that has grown their hope. It's why the church is so important. This is why we don't do things alone, because we need each other. Younger people, you need to connect with the older people and hear some of the stories and what God has done. And older people, you need to hear the younger people and see this young, fresh fire of what God is doing. Man, it's going to light a fire in both of you. But we rejoice in suffering because the Lord will grow us. Verse number 5 says, hope does not put us to shame, but because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the wonderful love of God. What's the consequence? God's love has been dumped into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Here the word love is the word agape. I believe Paul never uses the word agape to describe man's love for him. It is always, this word agape is a godly love. It is God's love for us. That God showed his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So as you read the next few verses, verse 6 and 7 and 8, and you read through that while mankind, we were weak, we were ungodly, and we were sinners. When we were utterly helpless, Christ at the perfect time gave his life. You get down to verse 11, it says, much more that we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. A couple months ago, I talked to you about this thought, and just to share a little bit of it again, one commentary really woke up my mind to this thought that most Westerners, most people in our culture, on our side of the world, prefer a passive God. To prefer a distance, a lightly interested God. That's not a biblical God. The most Westerners, when we think about God, religious people, one study shows that they think that God and man's relationship is impersonal. That they think God created and ordered the world and he watches over the life on earth, and that God wants people to be good and nice and fair to each other, and the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself, and that God is not particularly involved in our lives except to resolve problems. Except when we read the God of the Bible, that's not it. God is a personal, loving God. And this verse in 11 says we are to rejoice, to glorify God, to praise him. When we think about living a life, if we know the Lord, what is it about? It's about glorifying God. It is about enjoying the Lord. Even to think about that, you know, you can enjoy the Lord. I think we struggle to enjoy much of anything. We have to be told, like, hey, your boy, they're 6 years old, they're playing a baseball game today. You need to enjoy that because you're going to blink and they're going to be 22. Just enjoy it. Be there. You're going on a vacation. Stop worrying about day four of the vacation. You're in day one. Sit in day one. Enjoy it. In our relationship with the Lord, here's the deal. Enjoy the Lord. The love and the peace of God. We're called to enjoy it, to sit in it. Right? Even this morning, right? We sit in church together. We struggle to enjoy the Lord. Can I tell you, just stop. Enjoy the word and the promises of God. Enjoy the people of the Lord. Enjoy the worship of God. Stop and think, my Savior, my King, he has given his life. I have peace with God. I have amazing grace. There is eternity I'm looking forward to. We have now received reconciliation, the relationship with the Lord restored. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, and this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciled in the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The wonderful consequence of being saved is we have been reconciled, and God is calling us to be a part of the mission that we may go and be ambassadors for Christ so that others will be reconciled. Salvation is more than just getting a ticket. It's more than just the little blessing here and there which we see from the Lord. It is the Lord calling us out on the field. It is the Lord calling us to go with him and to be with him and to know him. To know the personal God who loves you, who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. See the justification of our souls changes everything. This is why salvation isn't a little thing. Because justification, the results will be shown in our lives. Peace, grace, hope, growth, love, ultimately to give him praise and enjoy the wonderful, true God that we serve. Let's stand together. If you're here this morning, and as I've talked about knowing the Lord, and there's a question in your heart, there's just that little tiny question, you go, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever been saved, ever been justified, ever received the salvation. Maybe in your heart there's just this little, I don't know. You can know this morning. You can know if you're a child of God. Romans tells us if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This whole teaching of Romans, looking that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And if where you're sitting, you believe that you know you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came, he died on the cross, holy, perfect, to take your place, to take your sin. You believe he died, but then he rose again. If there's any doubt, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If there's any doubt, in your seat, as we begin to worship, in your seat, say, Lord, I know I have sin. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ. I put my faith in the cross, the forgiveness of sin. Forgive me of my sins and save me. The Bible says salvation is by believing. If you don't know, confess to the Lord this morning. If you do know, enjoy the Lord. Enjoy Him this morning when you're driving your car. Praise Him. You get up, stop, and say, thank you, Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Glorify Him. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. May we learn to enjoy you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.